If you have a Bible nearby, grab it out and go to the sermon text that was read a few minutes ago. It's on page 1062. It's John chapter 10. You may have a Bible on your phone too. John chapter 10, 10 to 17. Good morning. Grace and peace is ours, brothers and sisters, in our one true faith in Jesus Christ. Do you remember, after the opening words and the children's message and a couple of times in the service, what we call this Sunday? I'm just going on record that second service is smarter than first service. It's Good Shepherd Sunday. People that follow, and we are those people, a church calendar all over the world today are saying this is Good Shepherd Sunday of many different denominations of the Christian faith. It's the fourth Sunday after Easter, and these are the readings in all those churches. So you're connected to a larger church. Good Shepherd Sunday. There are two places in the Bible where Jesus is called, or God is talking about himself as a shepherd the mostest. There's a couple like we heard in 1 Peter, little references. But one is Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and this one, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And I'm telling you, as your guest, herald of the gospel, that God wants to send you out of here today a different person than you came in, understanding your true identity clearly, because sinners forget. And because you're a sinner, you have forgotten somehow, somewhere, in some way, your true identity. I know that because the Bible says so, but I also know it because this morning I've forgotten my true identity a couple times already, probably more. Identity and the way you look at yourself is the difference between feeling good or bad, happy or sad, successful or a failure. And there is a wolf called the devil, that as long as you're not safe in heaven, wants to take away what Christ has given you as a true identity. And Jesus knows that. And he talked about it when he walked the earth, and this is where he talks about it. There's a wolf trying to get my sheep, and I'm the good shepherd. And there's some thieves in the name of the wolf that will come try to get you sheep. And there's some hirelings that will run off when the wolf comes. He's talking about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And the people are listening. They're on the edge of their seat listening to Jesus, because this is a human being in flesh. Like I'm standing here saying that he is God. He's taking Psalm 23 and saying, I am the good shepherd of Psalm 23. I am your Savior God. And this is what he says. You've got it in front of you. He says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep, and my sheep know me, and I know them, and they follow me. So what's your true identity? Well, there are incidentals, and there's the essential. The essential is you are a lamb of God. That's why we sing when we're little bitty, I am Jesus, little lamb, ever glad at heart I am. For my shepherd gently guides me, knows my need, and well provides. I am Jesus' little lamb. That's your identity. That's essential. But the truth is, you as a sinner are often trying to find your identity in the incidentals. Like you may happen to be a woman. And so you look at yourself as a woman, sometimes in a man's world. And it's an incidental to your identity, but it's not at the core. The core is, I'm a child of God. You may look at yourself as your birth order in your family. You ever noticed how you can be a perfectly well-adjusted adult, but go home for Christmas and you're pigeonholed right back to the same spot and you act out the part very well? And you're like, I can't wait to get back to work because I like who I am over there. Your identity is often drawn from where you land in the pecking order at work. You can be a fine, happy, child of God woman who comes out of the bedroom into the bathroom in the morning. You look at the mirror and you say, I am fat. And you spend all day thinking about how much you weigh and how you look and if you could take off some more and if dare ask your husband, does this make me look fat? Because your identity is getting wrapped up in how you look. Men generally kind of go, yeah, so I put on some extra weight, big deal. But men do it with, I am successful or poor or able to provide, or I got guns, if you're a young man, right? You're my age, you're just glad you're standing up. Right. Right? I am alive. I'm here. But your identity is a child of God, a lamb of the shepherd. And if you view yourself in terms of the incidentals, you'll be unstable, weak, unhappy, or you'll have a false happiness that's on thin ice and it can be taken away just like that. You're a lamb of the great shepherd. And you cannot keep that unless you keep your eyes on the shepherd who keeps saying to you, I am the good shepherd, and you don't have to be a shepherd, you're just a sheep. And then the three things that I want you to see from this are, you have a great shepherd, you have a great life, and you have a great flock to be in. There's no reason that any of you, if you came in here with your angst or your negativity or your sadness or your disappointment or your fear about being sad, that you should go home that way, because Jesus is telling you, you've got a great shepherd, you've got a great life, and you've got a great flock. And when he says, you have a great shepherd, he says, I lay down my life for you. When I was in high school, I was part of a vocational agriculture. I showed animals at the state fair, Houston, San Antonio. At the state fair, I had my Angus heifer, and you had to lead her with a lead rope. If she got off that lead rope, I did sometimes chase her down suburban neighborhoods. But there was a kid at the state fair who had a lamb that had no halter, no rope, and it would follow him everywhere, and he showed it off. And that's why I remember it. He'd get that lamb out of its pen. I don't know if you've ever been to the state fair, but all the barns are together, and you go about a quarter of a mile, and then you end up in the midway where all the games are that are expensive, and nobody can win the stuffed animal because you got to spend the life savings just to knock over the milk bottles. And then they got all the rides, and there's a lot of stinky corn dogs and cotton candy, and it smells that a sheep would go crazy about. It's crowded with people. And I followed this kid. He didn't know it, but I was following him. And he had that lamb walk in the way. It was about four paces behind him. Sometimes people were between him, and that lamb would look for him. And he had that lamb follow him through the midway, all the way that followed him. And that's been a picture of me for the lambs of God that should follow the Savior. When there's people and that look at that lamb and say, I'd like to eat that lamb. Or the judge looks at the lamb in the show ring and says, that's kind of like a last place lamb. That lamb did not look at itself as a last place lamb or a lamb chop. That lamb looked at itself as the lamb of that boy. And that's where he got his value, his meaning, his purpose, because he had a good shepherd and he trusted him. And of course, we were really good acquaintances. We tried to woo the lamb away. But we really only wanted to steal, kill, and destroy, the way Jesus would talk. And the lamb knew that. He kept his eye on the shepherd. Or we were hirelings, right? That would run away when the wolf came. Can I tell you? There is no human being other than Jesus that can be your shepherd. Not even well-meaning parents. Not even a great pastor. The word pastor means shepherd. And we shepherd each other. And you should expect your pastors to shepherd, or your parents to be good moms and dads. But you can't put all of your soul there. The very best parent is going to let you down. A great boss is not always going to be on. You're going to be sick one day and your friends are not going to get it. Your spouse is not going to get it. And you're going to feel all alone. And you have one shepherd. And it's Jesus Christ, who laid down His life for you, who understands everything, knows everything, and He knows every hair on your head, and He knows your name. And you know how much we love to have our name known. Jesus knows your name. And when He was on that cross, miraculously, as the Holy Son of God, He thought of your name. He died for your ugly sins that you hope nobody ever finds out. And by George, a lot of people will never find out, because Jesus took your sins away. He's your shepherd. And he'll be your shepherd until eternity is over, which you know is impossible. You have a great shepherd, God himself. Look at the last verse of the text, if you still have the Bible open, verse 17. Look what it says. I got to put my glasses on. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Remember at his baptism how the Father said, this is my Son whom I love. I'm well pleased with him. Well, now you know why. Because the Father is intoxicated with the salvation of all human beings. He created people to be with him forever, and the devil, the wolf, wiped out that plan. And Jesus is the one who stepped up, the Son of God, from eternity and said, I'll fix it, Dad. And the Father loves the Son for doing that. And that's why we love him too. And if you're not feeling the love for Jesus, it's because you've been finding your identity in your job, your church, your family, or your car, or your money, or your health, or your guns. But you haven't been finding it in Jesus. Because you can, when you know he's your good shepherd, you are so happy. You have a great shepherd. But you also have a great life. It just flows right into that. So look at the Bible with me and read verse 10 out loud with me, okay? Just read it with me. It's just a short verse. The thief comes... Okay, first service beat you on this. They did better. Ready? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I know you're Americans. You're just hoping that means a little bit more money, a little bit better car, a little bit better house, good health, and kids that are above average. It means much more than that. But oftentimes it includes blessings in those areas, but it's so much more than that. But our problem is that we get stuck in all that stuff and we decide whether we have a good life based on having a good wife, good husband, good kids, good job, good money, good health, good all those things. And we don't realize it. But the problem isn't the mistakes and the down of all those things. The problem is that we're looking in the wrong place. We have a good shepherd who's working out everything for our good in the incidentals of a life under the sun that has trouble, like Solomon said. And just like Joseph, remember Old Testament Joseph? In the middle of the 20 years where his brother sold him, Potiphar's wife lied about him, he was left in jail and forgotten. It wasn't good, but the good God was doing something good. Can you listen to this sermon today when Jesus says, I'm your good shepherd, and say, my good shepherd is doing something good, even when it doesn't look good? Yes, you can. Because you have a good shepherd. But I know how hard it is. It's really easy to stand up here and preach it. It's really hard to live it. Yesterday, I was feeling like life was pretty good in a worldly sense. Driving my used pickup that I bought 6 months ago and finally felt like I'm a man again to get back in a pickup. My 2001 F-150 that has a back seat, and I'm sitting higher than I was in my little Honda Civic. And I feel like a man again. I'm driving down the road Saturday afternoon, and I pull up to a light right behind a $53,000 brand new blue Corvette. And I look, that guy in the seat looks like he's half my age. What gives? How does he get to own a Corvette? And I'm a hard-working preacher dude leader that I'm in this old pickup truck. Well, he can't haul anything in his. I got a back seat. I can put more people in there. All worldly reasons to try to find some kind of value in what? The incidentals. Some kind of good life. Some kind of abundance. Some kind of help. And Jesus just says, Don, you're preaching on that I'm the good shepherd. The abundant life is in me. It's not in your truck, right? The abundant life is in the peace, the hope, and the love that give us joy that the world cannot give. The peace of knowing that stinker that I am, I'm completely forgiven and God's watching over my life. The peace that He's working things out for my good, that He'll bless me with things even though I don't deserve them. The hope that I'm going to be blessed and coddled and taught and trained and loved by God the Shepherd until He ushers me into heaven and says, now you're perfect. And you get to be with me forever in heaven. That's hope. And the love, that's the solution and the secret to every one of my relationship problems. To love my family enough to apologize, to love my family enough to forgive them with the love of Christ, to love my friends and my enemies enough to say, Jesus washes it away, I do too. I have peace, I have hope, I have love, and they make me rich, and they make me able to enjoy anything else on the surface, the incidentals, because I have the essentials in Christ. You do too. That's what I'm trying to share with you. And if you haven't been happy lately, and you're grousing around the house, and you're grumbling about this or that, or trying to get everybody to change so you can be happy, get on your knees before God. And when you take the Lord's Supper today, say, Lord Jesus, thank You that You washed all that away, and that I have an abundant life in Your grace. And help me to enjoy everything with the peace, hope, and love that You bring. Because You're my good shepherd. That's all I need. When you have a good shepherd and you have a great life, it's also important to recognize that you have a great flock. Not because of the incidentals, but because of the essentials. You have a great shepherd. I'll just read to you real quickly what he said again. Verse 16. I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it again. I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen, and they must be brought in. I remember when I was in high school thinking, Lord, do not bring the end of the world until I at least grow up and get to have all the blessings that I want to create by a career and a job. And I wanted to be a rancher with 1,000 cattle and all that kind of stuff at that time. And I don't want the end of the world till I get that. Then you can wipe out everything because I will have had what I want. You ever thought of prayer like that? Just, you know, I want You to come back, just not right now. What's He waiting for to come back? What did He say? Here and other places, He said He's waiting for the last person to come to faith that was one of the elect from eternity. The whole world revolves around this man and his sheep pen. It doesn't revolve around us and our temporal dreams that are going to go away. The whole thing is about Jesus and people. And He's got more people to bring into His sheep pen to know the peace, the love, the hope, and the joy of having the Good Shepherd. Everything is about Him. And it all has to do with the flock, which is us, the people. And the flock is not just defined by your congregation, but your congregation is inside the flock. And so in this church of Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is giving you a great experience. It's called grace. You may have family members who don't know grace. They don't understand forgiveness and sticking together and serving each other out of selfless love. But you've got Christian friends in your church that do. You're in the flock. And God has given you in your church what you lack in your family and your friendships. And you might be a club member of the best CrossFit nation that there ever could be. You might be involved in some cheerleading group, or you're a kid in high school that's really good at band, and that's your people, and you know where your place is in high school, and you think that's the best part of my life. Church is just on the side. Well, I got a message for you. Church is the one group that God says is your main home group, and everything else is an incidental. Whatever you've been involved with, whatever your career is, whatever your hobby is, whatever your thing is, this is the big thing, this family, right here, the flock of God. And He wants to add more people to it because people are His main thing, and He wants to be their shepherd. And He wants you excited and interested in sharing grace with as many people as possible. And even if they're not added to this organization, they're added to the kingdom of God because of the Christians that are here who are willing to share the faith. That's why your school organized way, your Jesus Cares, your Sunday school, any outreach effort you do is so important because it's finding more sheep. But you know what's the biggest thing that has to happen in order to help them be in the flock? We have to change. So they can see the love and the love and the peace and the joy and the acceptance flowing through us, so they could come to their senses and realize it's about Jesus and His love. And here His people are an example. Okay, so I'm closing this down. I just recently, with a couple of my boys, got into something I did 30 years ago. I bought some cattle and as a hobby. So we have five mama cows with five babies and a bull. And I've got a friend up by Austin that said I could use his 85 acres, lease it from him for grass. But he already had six goats on there. So can you imagine if goats could talk, how they felt? They'd lived on that place their whole lives without cattle, and those big bovines, 1,200 pounds, 1,000 pounds, were brought on the place. The goats all stay to themselves, and so do the cattle. But when the goats hear me coming, and I just met them myself 2 months ago, they come running. And then they pause because they see the great big old cows. And the cows come running too. And then they pause and they see the little goats. The good shepherd wants them all to get along and be friendly. They're not doing that. But when I go to drop those cubes or other things, those goats want to eat. And so Billy Goat and Bull, we're trying to eat together out of the same trough. And Billy Goat wasn't getting any. And Billy Goat's feeling pretty good about himself. So he said, E-e-e-e-e-e. And he squared off, and the bull backed up and went, now, I don't want to take on a 1,000-pound bull over a Billy Goat, but I don't want the animals hurting each other. I'm the shepherd. I want them all to get along, right? And the Billy Goat said, E-e-e-e-e. And the bull went, And the Billy Goat said, I'm going to take you on. So he butted the bull in the nose. And the bull just went whoop with his nose. And the goat went back on his rear end. Aah! And then he took off out of the corral. Why am I telling that? Just to get you back. No. That's what church looks like sometimes to me as a church leader. Some big old bull that's had his way in the body for so long. Or a Billy Goat that's had his way for so long. And God brings in a new bull. And there's, and somebody gets knocked off on their rear end. Well, that church is unloving. Do you understand, or do I need to explain it? I don't need to explain it, do I? God sees everybody as lambs, even when, incidentally, we're bulls and goats. And there's one good shepherd. And with His love, we can eat out of the same trough, the same Lord's Supper, do the same mission, and we all want to be a part of the same thing. And we can learn to let the invaders change us. And the invaders can learn to let us change them, as long as it's not about the Word and the means of grace. We can change each other. Why? So more people get brought into the sheep pen. Because that's what life's about. That's the essential. That's what gives it meaning and purpose. I am Jesus' little lamb, and I have a good shepherd, and I want more people to have Him too. I hope you go out with that, and it changes your day. Maybe your week or your life. Amen.